Morning. The kids can go for the Sunday service, and the adults will remain here. From the title, you understood that the family is the subject of our morning meditation. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming before you, and we are asking from you mercy, grace. We're asking, Lord, to speak clearly this morning. Lord, just help me to articulate your word and stop any phrase, anything that comes from me, and also give to us obedient hearts and help us to receive your word with humbleness and to let that word to be implanted in our hearts and to give fruits. We are relying on you, trusting that you'll speak this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll discuss today about the mystery and about prophecy about family. And if we rightly consider the family is the cell of our society, then the Christian family is the cell of the body of Christ. And that's why it has to be well protected. And you know about these terrible diseases like gangrene or cancer. And all those diseases are starting from one cell. And after that, they spread out to the whole body. And that's why we as a church has to just signal the alarm every time when we get even one Christian family, one family in our church spiritually sick. And you know also that the family is very important. That's the place where the leaders has to look into when we want to find a new leader of the church. And from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and also from the book of Titus, we know that the leaders of the church are selected only from among the family men. That's why the family is very important, and I'm going to read a verse, and you'll tell me from where I read. For this reason, a man will leave the father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And I read from, yes, that's a verse from Genesis, but I read from Ephesians because Paul used this verse to tell us about a mystery. And let's read this mystery. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So Paul quoted this to tell us about this profound mystery, and that will be our goal for the first part of the sermon, to understand what's the mystery. Do you see that two covenants are totally identical? The covenant of Christ and the marriage covenant are identical, but only the first one is the model, is the image, is a shadow of the second one, and that's the mystery. So Paul wants to tell us that God has given us a family in order to have a model of the heaven. And look how God has chosen to present himself using family terms. He used for himself, he called himself the Father, Jesus the husband, the church the wife and children, and the kingdom of God, our home. See, Lord is revealing himself to us through the family terms, because that's very, very important. We have here two covenants, and we have to understand that if we'll not grip or we'll not understand this model, we can break the blueprint which God has given to us. We have now only two existing covenants, and that's not the old and new covenant, because the old was replaced with the new, but we have the marriage covenant and covenant of Christ, and you will see, you're about to see that the first becomes visible, the covenant of Christ becomes visible through the marriage covenant. With other words, your relation with Christ becomes visible through your relation in your house. And that's why we have to see that this model is not new in the history. The Jewish people also had a model in the past. And we read in the book of Hebrews 8:5 that they serve at a sanctuary that's a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build a tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So we are warned today also that we have also a pattern. We have a blueprint, and we have to just follow that model which was described in the Bible clearly, and we also have to keep it as God has given to us. Speaking about models, you know that before a pilot will fly a real plane, he has to spend hours, days, even months and years flying or exercising on the model. And we got also a model, and we have to understand that that's the mystery which Paul said. That model has to train us for heaven. If somebody is not happy with the model you have, look that you are not alone in this. You have what Judas said, that the angels who did not keep their position of authority but abandoned their own hope, these he has kept in darkness, bound with the everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. So God put us in a special position. He gave us a house. And so if you are not unhappy, you are not alone in this. But we have to realize that family is the first field where we are exercising, experiencing our Christianity. So that's why if you would like to find out where you are, what kind of faith you have, go and ask your husband. Or ask your wife. They will tell you where you are regarding to the faith. And because God gave us such a good training, and you know that our spouses are preparing us for heavens, and they are polishing us, they are pointing to our weakness, imperfectness. They are doing their job because none of us would like to come before Jesus and will hear, "Go away, you evildoers." That's why we better let our spouses to do their jobs the best they can. And God is severely concerned about family matters, and that's why he watches out how that training goes on. And for example, if we have conflicts, he gives us only one day to solve our conflicts. He said, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil the ground, because God understands if we will not solve our conflicts, we are giving to the devil all the opportunities, the ground to mess our families. And that's why in other place Jesus said, settle matters quickly with your enemy who is taking you to the court. Speaking about the results or the consequences if we will not solve our conflicts soon. Also, Jesus said that if you are coming to the church and you still have a conflict unsolved with your spouse, just leave your kids in the parking lot and drive back home and solve your conflict first, and after that come to worship. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So you can reconcile with your sister as well and then come to worship. Why is so important to come pure to worship God? Why is so important to reconcile first? Because is said in Proverbs 15:8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked. Lord does not receive from us our worship if we are coming in conflict, if our hearts are not pure, because God views our words, our actions differently than we view. He views our actions as an extension of our hearts, as an extension of our motivation. So you can fool anyone except God. So you cannot come here and play Christianity, because that will not give you any credits, and that will harm you. And that's why God is asking from us, first of all, to reconcile, and after that to come to worship. Why is so important also is that even though Bible speaks a lot about the reverence which the wife has to give to her husband, look that God speaks also about the respect which the husband has to give to her wife. And Peter said, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the wicked partner. What will happen if we will remain unreconciled, if we will come in the conflicts and we will not respect our wives? God says that He will close His ears and will not listen to our prayers. Do you see that God is watching very closely what is happening in our families? I saw hypocrites who are in conflict with their spouses, but pretending that they are in peace with God. You know, also according to James, for example, chapter 4, that every time when we start a conflict, we are showing our face to God. He says that any conflict brings us in a state of we are becoming an enemy to God. That's why God will watch closely what is happening in our family. Why? You ask why? It's because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and your wife. He is a witness because He is a covenant God, and He wants us to be covenant people, those who are faithful to the marriage covenant. And now let's see that the family is designed to experience heaven and to fulfill our three main needs. And those needs are the need for love, the need for assurance, and the need to be appreciated. And you know that all these needs cannot be fulfilled if you don't have a Christ-focused family. For example, the need for love. Only in Christ you can have the true, genuine love. The need for assurance. God is our assurance. The need to be appreciated. If your self-esteem is not based in your identity in Christ, you'll not have a proper or a sound self-esteem. And that's why when I'm attending weddings and looking to those happy bride and groom, I'm asking myself, where is the assurance that they will remain so happy after the marriage? Where's the assurance that that bride will continue to respect her husband as she did before the marriage? Where is that assurance that the groom will be excited about spending time with her wife as he was doing when he was dating her? And there is no such assurance. Only that assurance comes if both of them are coming closer to the Lord. Because if they want to experience an increasing love, they have to be close to the love giver. And when two are coming closer to the Lord, they are coming closer to each other. And because many fail to be focused on the Lord, but refocus themselves on each other, you have that statistic of divorce, you have all those conflicts which has to disappear from our families. And that's why now, as a family, we have to fulfill that blueprint which we spoke in the very beginning. And God gave us this amazing, amazing place to do that. I believe that the family has two main goals. And one of them is to acknowledge Christ better, to get prepared for meeting with Christ. I strongly believe that God did not give us the family only to experience happiness on this earth. In fact, He has given us the family more to get prepared for heavenly happiness. Because you can meet families where one of the spouses does not behave as a Christian. And forgive me, in some families they are behaving like an antichrist. And if you are stripped out from this earthly desire of happiness, desired happiness, you still can have all the comfort, support, all the encouragement in our heavenly groom. And but if your focus is only on this earth, of course you'll try to substitute that inconvenient circumstances. But forgetting that God wants you to be focused on something bigger. And that's why many people who are focused on Christ can bear, can go through hard time, because they are not focused on what is happening around them, but they are focused on the reward which God is preparing us to, for us to have. And so that's the first goal which I believe God has given us, the family. The second is to, through the family, we can witness Christ to others. Let's see how we are getting to know Christ better through the family. First of all, you saw that two covenants are absolutely identical. So God gave us Christ as a partner, and now on this earth we have also our spouses as a partner, and He intended these two to become one. So we are experiencing the same unity, emotional, intellectual, or even physical unity on this earth. Also, through the covenant, we come to a realization what does mean a real friend, because the friend is another word for a partner, for covenant partner. And having a friend close to us, the one who will encourage, listen to us, who will comfort, who will stay always as a support to our lives, that's something amazing. But we know that that friendship is impossible without the commitment from both sides. And that's how we realize that the same commitment God is expecting from us. Also, through marriage, we are learning about communication. We know how hurtful is the miscommunication, or when somebody is not giving the fellowship which we all long for. We know how hurtful is for our Lord, who gave us this amazing opportunity to come anytime to His throne and to communicate with Him. And we are sometimes missed to do that. And also, reading the Bible, you'll understand a lot about God, but sometimes you'll not feel what God feels. And I'm telling you that until my kids grew up and became teenagers, I didn't feel how miserable a parent can feel when his kids are disobedient. You know, they became teenagers. Immediately they are becoming smart and wise. We are becoming old-fashioned. And when you try to direct them, advise them, love them, and you get all the rejection, you feel with all your heart what God feels as a parent. So that's how we get prepared to understand God better. But how we are witnessing Him to others. You know that through your family you can draw people near to God or send them away or push them away from God. You cannot realize how close your neighbors, colleagues, friends are watching you. I had this opportunity several weeks ago to be on the mountain of Olives in Jerusalem. And when the priest, a local priest, saw us with the Bible, he started to scream in a way that we thought that he's demon-possessed. So when you see a priest in the priest garments, you have an expectation that he will behave himself according to his position. Believe me that the same expectation is expected from us, from our by our neighbors, by our colleagues. So, but let's leave alone the neighbors thinking about kids. It's really hard to raise godly kids when you are not godly. For example, they are watching us very closely. If you are not a promise keeper, in vain you'll explain to them about the importance of keeping the word. Or, for example, if you are telling them how important it is to read the Bible, but they don't see you as a family spending time reading the Bible, they will see that you have a hypocritical faith. Or if you'll explain to them that prayer is important in a life of Christian, but they will not see you praying. Again, it will be very hard to raise them as disciples. So that's why, as a family, we can present the kingdom of God. And you know that the kingdom of God well explained in Romans 14:17, which says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So because our house, our home, is the model of the kingdom of God, we can present a wrong model. Sometimes you will see that, for example, in a family where the woman is taking the leadership, taking over the leadership, you'll see that that model will curse the next generation, the kids. You'll see that the kids will follow the same model and will develop the same dysfunctional families. And that's why we have to give a clear model to our kids as well. And look what should be our priority in a family. First is the righteousness. Second is the peace. And third is joy. Instead, you'll see many families in nowadays who are giving all their efforts to work for food, drink, or for material health as an inheritance for their kids. And they will work hard for their family, but ignoring the family itself. That's why God wants us to put clearly the priorities in the right place. So first, look for righteousness. Second, for peace. Third, for joy. And doesn't give us any rights to change his blueprint, to change his model. If we will work on developing such a cozy, sweet home, as a stronghold where our kids, wife and husband, will run looking at the home as a place of refuge, as an oasis from this hostile world, where they will find this climate of peace, joy, of mutual respect, will develop such a fortress which will become attractive for our kids. Even when we will die, they will still will like to get together. But for this, for developing this, we have to dream, to pray, and to work on building such a stronghold. You know that as a family, we have to develop all this based on love. And I will remind you only two things about love today, and that will be actually the summary for this sermon. I put this ugly picture here to tell you how ugly is when we are thinking evil. So first quality of love in 1 Corinthians is patience, long patience, which is translated from Greek when you are loyal to somebody's opinion when that opinion is not similar with yours. Maybe people have a different opinion, and God is asking us to be loyal and to respect the other party. And the respect, by the way, for example, in Romans 12:10, the respect shows you how you worship to God. The respect is that blueprint of God settled in the family, because God wants the family to be the place where we get the highest respect. God didn't intend to build a family where we humiliate each other, where we are experiencing torture. That's not the family according to God's blueprint. And that's why the respect is the first demand from a person who says that he loves. The second quality which I took from 1 Corinthians is that the love is not easily angered and does not think evil. Just think about if you will treat, for example, the members of this church in the same way as you treat your life, or your wife. If you let your anger to go uncontrolled, if you scream on the members of the church as you scream on your wife or husband, will they respect you? Will they continue to love you? Will they continue to honor you? That's why the respect is something which established the foundation of the family. And speaking about family, you know, it's a subject where you can speak a lot, but I would like us to be focused only on these few things. First of all, respect. Second is love does not think evil. When we are in conflict, we are always tempted to think evil. And that's how we are building divisions, we are building these walls of division. And let me give you an example. I gave you that example long ago. When you think evil, you are taking the brick from the devil who is coming to you and saying, look, your wife does not honor you. And you take that brick and says, she doesn't. And the devil will come immediately with the second brick and will say, listen, she's supposed to obey the Bible. And you'll take that brick and you'll put in the foundation of the division wall and you say, yes. And he'll come and will say, look, She's not so pretty as you thought. And you'll take that brick and you'll put in the foundation and say, yeah, she's not so. And immediately he'll come with the next and will say, listen, but you had another options too. And you'll think, yes, I had other, maybe better options. And that's how you'll build that division wall. And the next day you'll not be able to treat your wife as you did before. You'll feel like even irritated by your wife or husband. How do I know all this? And you know that thinking evil is a way of destroying relations. You are in covenant with your wife, with your husband. And you have to build up these relations. And two things will destroy them. The lack of respect and the way of thinking evil. Look what God said in Malachi. He said, so guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with your wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Do you see the phrase repeated here is, so guard yourself in your spirit. It's the same phrase related to thinking, to controlling your thoughts. You can check, for example, Romans 8, from verse 4, says that how you walk in the Spirit, when you have your mind set on the spiritual things. So that's the way how we can control our thoughts. We have the freedom, we have this choice to think evil or to think good. That's why I would like to leave today, leave you today with this several things. First of all, we have a model to follow. We don't have freedom to build our family as we want. We have a blueprint given by God. And he said that that's a profound mystery, and we have to follow that blueprint. In that blueprint, he wants the love to be established. First of all, developing respect. Second is to stop thinking evil, to stop thinking bad about our spouses. One friend of mine, he said, but I cannot stop myself from thinking bad because look at her. She's not anymore my friend. And they said, look, now you have to treat her as an enemy. According to Matthew chapter 5, we have to bless our enemies. That means to speak good. Second, we have to do good. And third, we have to pray. If you are in conflict and you cannot love your spouse as your friend, treat him or her as an enemy. That means start praying for him from for her, and you'll not be able to think bad and to pray in the same time. And that's why God now reminds us that we have to control our thoughts. Also, from our unity should come some godly offspring. God gave us kids, and they have to become candidates for the heaven, not for the hell. And I thought that I have my kids for 18 years. My daughter proved to me that that's not correct. You know, you have your kids only for that period of time when they're running after you. They want to talk to you. They want to listen to you. That's the best time when you have to invest in your kids. That's the best time when you can establish them on the heavenly values. And God is expecting from us to have this godly offspring. And here is the prophecy. He says that in the end of the time, he will send the prophet Elijah. You know that that happened, but also is going to happen. That's the way how God does sometimes. He has immediate fulfillment, but also fulfillment in the future. And he said that Elijah will come before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will do something. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. What will happen if we will not work on our families? Look here. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. The devil knows that the dysfunctional families are cursing the land. He knows how important is the family. That's why the attack in the last days on the family. Look what is happening around us, and you understand that the family now is under the most severe attack. Never, never in the history the family was under such attack as in nowadays. And that's also a sign that the time is near. So that's why Elijah will have to work on establishing the healthy families. And we can now do that, establishing those healthy families and bringing blessing upon this earth. And speaking about kids again, that's you can have a series of sermons. Today we'll look only to a few verses. And one verse says, Father, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And you know, how can we provoke our children to anger? And here is some, it's a list of the ways of provoking our children to anger. When we are unfair to them, when we are not keeping our promises, when we are humiliating them, or disciplining them without giving enough explanation, or rebuking them before teaching, or punishing them in anger. That's how we are alienating our kids from us. And Moses gave us the best advice. He said that we have to become a priest of our families. We should become altar builder in our home. And that's why the righteousness, which we saw that Paul also brought as our main focus, should reign in our home. Now, with all this said, we have to see that God is protecting our family. He's protecting our peace as well. If we will not be focused on righteousness, on joy and peace in our family, we'll be focused on other side. And you heard about food, drink, and that will make us nervous, will make us full of stress. And just try to honestly speak with the man, and you'll see that many men, they have this constant fear that they will not be able to provide for their families. They have this constant fear that they will become unable to support their families. And if you have that fear, let's understand that we can relax today. Because if you are fearful about becoming unable, we are already unable to provide for our families. That's why Jesus included that part in the Lord's Prayer. And he said, give us our daily bread today. So that's why we can relax now, understanding that God constituted, designed the family. He will provide. But for him to pour out all his blessing upon us, we have to follow some rules. And the main rule is don't break the blueprint which God has given to us. And we can keep those rules by giving respect, developing respect, mutual respect in our family, because that's what the kids will take the most from us. Second, trying to keep our mind, controlling our thoughts from evil when we are in conflict. If conflict happened, I know that that's a rarity, that's not so often happening in our families, but if a conflict happened, don't let the reconciliation to another day. Reconcile immediately, soon. Don't come to the church wearing that mask of hypocrisy, because we will not do any good, not to ourselves, not to our church. And let God help us to build now those families which will be a preparation for meeting our Lord Jesus, who will unite us with the bigger family, with the heavenly one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for giving us a wonderful position in our family, to be a husband or to be a wife. We know that you give us amazing duties to prepare not only ourselves, but also to prepare our kids for heaven. Lord, you gave us a blueprint to follow, a model, an image, a shadow of that heavenly covenant. And now it's so clear to us what you are expecting, what you are building in us. And we know that only love is that atmosphere which has to reign in our families. And the love becomes visible through the respect which we have toward each other, and also when we are controlling our thoughts. Lord, if we have, and we do have, hurted families in our church, and we know that the families are the mirror of our church, we know that in order to check out the health condition of our church, we have to look at the families which formed the church. Lord, just give us wisdom and right advice to help to those families. And those who have healthy families, Lord, give us more wisdom to know how to direct them to you. And when you'll be our focus, when you'll be our goal, we know that our church will get multiplied in the right models. And now we're asking, Lord, to bless us in this. In Jesus' name, amen.